It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Yeah, I will stop in all man. Sorry with me, you know, it was stuff, you know, turnover, you know, just can happen. And we still kind of get one back, but we just got ourselves in the first because those three goals, we just give it to them. It wasn't like they have to do anything special. It was just three goals, and after it was too many penalties. And that's how's it going for us lately. You know, we just give them the goal for by our mistake, you know, and I just can't start, you know. I'm one of the guy here, and I just, you know, this can happen like that.
Good morning, everyone. We knew it was going to be tough for the San Jose Sharks in the post-deadline world, and that has proven to be true. I just don't think we thought it was going to be rough like it has been in a couple of games lately, most specifically last night, giving up 7 goals and really flashing back to the type of errors that they committed earlier in the year when they were not as good of a team, even if their roster was better. These mistakes are not entirely out of the Sharks system, and it's going to be a while before they entirely are, and until then, we can expect more losses. Sharks head coach David Quinn said after the game that at some point the losing is going to stop. He said he didn't know if it was going to be this year, but at some point it has to stop. And I think that we all acknowledge that is the truth. At some point, this team will stop losing, A, because the season will come to an end, but at some point they will be a better team overall. But you do look at the way the game went down last night, you can see that there is a lack of fire burning in a lot of these guys at this point. And this is the toughest part of the season. It's something that I've been talking about. It's the fact that they have to get through these final games. It's the fact that they have to play to the end of the schedule when there's not much to be fighting for. And, you know, it's got to be a tough situation because if you look at the veterans like a Tomas Hertl and Erik Karlsson and Logan Couture, these guys that are established veterans that have been playing in big games throughout the entirety of their career, this is never where those players expect to be, especially when we look at the history of San Jose in their careers. It's supposed to be a front-running team that's out there on the tip of everyone's tongue as a team that's going to be contending. But that's obviously not how it's gone for the Sharks since the end of the 2019 season, the 2018-2019 season, when they lost in the Western Conference Final. Since then, it's been a very harsh reality, and it's continued to trend downwards. Now, this team in the future might be able to turn it around, but what they need to focus on in the here and now is just putting forth slightly better efforts. And I always say that because you start the bar low. Like, I'm not looking for them to win the rest of their games, but it is demoralizing to themselves and to the fan base to lose by a final of 7-2, to lose, you know, giving up 8 goals as they did against Edmonton a couple of weeks ago and giving up, you know, just too many goals overall. I think that, you know, it's going to be a rough ride to the finish, but that doesn't mean you can't just stop driving. All you have to do is go back and look through the month of March. They give up 6 versus St. Louis, 8 versus Washington, 6 versus Colorado, 6 versus Columbus, 7 versus Vancouver. I mean, that's just not the type of game. That's not the type of play. That's not the type of reality that's going to create better outcomes in the here and now. And I don't blame the players individually. I don't blame the coaches. I don't blame as a whole the group. I just think this is a bad situation. I think that they got to get through the end of the year and then they can start focusing on a fresh start a year from now when the roster will be different, when changes will have been made, and when things will be just overall in a different mindset. The paradigm will have shifted next year as opposed to this year. Now, that doesn't mean the Sharks are not going to be struggling to make the playoffs next year or that they will be quote-unquote good, but I think what we're seeing right now, this is the quote-unquote low point. This is the type of season that, you know, the Sharks had worked hard to avoid for a long, long time by being in contention for so long and keeping themselves in a conversation that was not one of going for the top draft picks. And this is what happens when you delay that conversation. You know, the Sharks and Doug Wilson did a very good job of kicking the can down the road. And, you know, everyone thought it was over after the 2014 season, or the 2014-2015 season, when they didn't make the playoffs, and said they were back in the Stanley Cup final the next year. And then they were, you know, a couple of years after that, back in the Western Conference final after continuing to make the playoffs each year after that. That, to me, is a positive thing, right? Like, I'm not going to say that's a bad thing to have happened, but, you know, the Sharks were able to put themselves in the position year after year after year where they were able to be in those deep runs. But right now, you know, that's all caught up with them. They are changing their rosters all the time. The injuries have added up. The trades they've made have added up. This team is not good from day one of the season, and then they are less talented than they were. You know, you look at some of the key absences: Matt Nieto, Nick Bonino, Timo Meier. Those three names. And there's other depth players we can talk about as well, like an Acemont, who came on strong the minute he joined the team, or a Jacob Megna, who was not, you know, a star player entering the season, but definitely, you know, performed well. Like, those are names that were helping the overall capacity of the Sharks, and it's gone down since then. And I'm not saying that every single one of those players was a world beater, because they weren't all Timo Meier, and Nick Bonino isn't as young as he used to be, but, you know, you combine all of those factors together and you get the end results that we're seeing now, where the Sharks previously had that level of compete and now it makes it that much harder. And then that's, I think, why you see some of these turnovers and the like popping back up into their game, because they're trying to do anything they can to make something happen, A, and B, a little bit of carelessness can seep in when you're having trouble with one game to the next. And again, I don't put blame on them as individuals or as a collective. It's just the whole situation, it sucks. It's not fun. And right now they are playing to get through the end of the year, and it can't come soon enough. You know, right now it is March 24th. The season ends in the middle of April. They're going to be, you know, on the road for three at Winnipeg, Calgary, and Edmonton to end the season. You know, and then they can start thinking about their summer break. Then they can start thinking about their offseason. Then they can start thinking about their future. But I think it would help, and again, I don't know if David Quinn does this, but to remind everyone, like, hey, guys, you got to go to the finish line. And I don't expect them to win many games, if any, from here on out. But I do expect overall the level of just play to be better than what we saw last night. And again, I don't blame the effort. I don't think it was horrific or anything like that. It's just not good enough. And I hate to be so blunt about that, but it's bad to be on the lopsided losses like this. Losing 7-2, losing 8-3, losing 6-0. They have a negative effect on the team. They have a negative effect on the fan base. They have a negative effect on everyone. And yes, it's nice that Erik Karlsson got another point last night. I'll take that any day of the week. Yes, it's nice that Agostino got up and scored. Like, I like seeing these certain things. But at the same time, when you come out of the gates that flat, you're down 2-0 on the road, even if you are able to get yourself back into it and you're chasing it, it's going to be a very, very tall task to try and get yourself back into the game. You know, that's not an easy ask of a good team to get down 2-0 on the road. But instead, you do it to a team where the Sharks are, where they're just playing to get through the end of the season. It makes the entire process that much more difficult. You know, JT Miller makes it 1-0. Kuzmenko makes it 2-0. And then you got a second left in the first period after you'd made it 2-1. And then you give up another goal with Joshua scoring to make it 3-1. That's a backbreaker. That's not helping anything. And then actually I thought the second period was decent until they gave up another goal to make it 4-1. And then, you know, you get through the third period, you start trying to give it a go to make something out of it. You get that shorty, it's 4-2, but then it's 5-2, 6-2, 7-2 in short order. And that's just, that's how it goes, right? Like, there's not much pushback that you have against that. That's not the type of game where, yes, it was good to get it back to 2-1, and it was good to make it 4-2, but that shows you how much that first deficit of being down 2-0 hurts. And again, this team does not have the ability to play from behind right now, unless we are talking about some sort of a miracle. And you cannot rely on miracles. You cannot rely on the unexpected to be what gets you through any given game. And, you know, with the turnovers, it's been a problem all year long for the Sharks. It has gone out of their game to a greater extent as we've gotten later and later into the year, but they're still capable of making these mistakes. And when you combine the mental mistakes with the fatigue of a year like this with Vancouver, who has been playing much better since the coaching change and is trying to really establish themselves and what they want to do going into next year, it makes it that much more difficult. You know, Vancouver going into this year, we're dealing with a lot of injuries or throughout the season, not going into the year specifically, but throughout the year have dealt with a lot of injuries that have kept them from being the team they expected to be. I like Bruce Boudreau. I don't put that all on him. You know, there's been a correction and now they're playing more like the team that we expected them to be. They've won 7 out of their last 10. I think after last night's game, it might be 8 out of their last 10. And that just shows you how good they are capable of being. They weren't like this all year long. That's why you can't look at a record and say that tells you everything about a team. Now, I could make that argument about the Sharks and say they're not as bad as their record. However, you know, they're almost at this point worse than their record. And I don't say that to be inflammatory, but it's like they were already a bad team and you took away Timo Meier, Nick Bonino, Matt Nieto, Mikey Acemont, guys that were helping them just keep their heads above water, maybe not at the 500 mark, but allow them to be more and more competitive in games. You take those guys away, and now it's that much uglier. Now it's that much more difficult. And we can, you know, make the comparison. We can pull out from the micro of the one game of the macro of the whole season. You know, getting down 2-0 in a game, it's not that different than starting off your season 0-5. You put yourself in a hole. You're chasing from day one. And then you're, you know, looking at game 6 when you get your first win. I don't care how many games are in front of you on the schedule. If you're not a super talented team, if you're not going to be that level, it makes it that much more difficult. It makes it that much more, you know, of a challenge to try and establish yourself. And the Sharks, again, looking at next year, of which it is relatively premature because we don't even know what the team will look at like next year. But, you know, we got to talk about the start. Am I talking about the start of the game or the start of the season? Yes, both. You got to be better. You got to be more capable than what we saw in last night's game. You go on the road, you go down 2-0 early, good luck. Good luck getting a point out of that game. Good luck getting a win out of that game. If you are good enough to get, you know, points out of games where you go down 2-0 in the first period, then you're going to be a good team overall. You're going to be a contender. The Sharks are not a contender. They are a team that, again, is playing to get through the remainder of the regular season and try and, you know, just get out to the other side, make sure no one gets injured. And I get it. It's been tough. It's been rough. It's been ugly. And you could hear that in the voices of the guys the last night's game. I mean, David Quinn, you know, I always joke about, you know, some managers and head coaches in sports, you know, they look angry or they look just, you know, completely at a loss. David Quinn is now at the point where, you know, the nausea that we've seen at some points of the year, I feel like it's rising. You know, some points I feel like he's going to just vomit all over the bench just to make a point with how disgusted he is at everything he's seen out there on the ice. And I can't blame him because sometimes I feel a little ill when I watch the Sharks as well. But it's just, you know, he didn't even really want to talk about the games last night. David Quinn, when he wants to be, is a really good talker, is a really interesting guy. And last night's game, you could just tell he just had no business for this. He gave very short answers. He was not in the mood to talk about it. And I can't blame him. You know, David Quinn, you know, there's a reason that he's being chosen for Team USA. There's a reason that he's held in the regard that he is. Guys like him, players like him, fans like him. I think that if you watch the way that he interacts with the community, if you watch the things that he did with the San Francisco Earthquakes ahead of Pride Night, that tells you a lot about David Quinn's character. That tells you a lot about who he is and who he wants to be and the way people regard him. But after last night's game, you know, he just looked like he had had enough, like he was fed up. And I don't think that anything he's doing is contributing to the Sharks' lack of quality performances right now. I think that he's, you know, maybe the lone reason why it's not worse. You know, he's giving his team directions and orders and principles and tactics that are allowing them to be competitive. I think that when we combine this with a better team, that you'll see, you know, what exactly he can do as a coach. And I got to admit, I am excited to see what the Sharks can do if they have a better roster, if they have more talent. And I think that David Quinn deserves that because right now, I mean, this just feels like punishment. It feels like every game is a punishment for the San Jose Sharks. And that's not a good feeling. Whether you're a player, whether you're a head coach, whether you're a fan, it feels like every game is just turned up to 11 in terms of maximizing the pain that is caused by every Sharks mistake. I feel like the pendulum has swung very much against the Sharks all throughout the year. Not that that isn't any of their own doing, but now it just feels like it's getting worse Now it just feels like it's piling on, and it makes it that much more difficult to play to the finish. But that's what you got to do. That's what you've got to be able to do, and sit down with the players, say the right words, and that's got to involve the leadership core as well, of which Tomas Hertl is one. You got to make sure that he's not the one making the mistakes. You got to make sure that all your leaders on the team are in a great position to lead in spite of the situation that you are in. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. And I think going through all this as a team will hopefully allow them to come out stronger on the other side. Logan Couture, you know, until lately, he had seen nothing but success throughout his NHL career. Now he's learning the other side of it. Will that make him a better captain? I believe so. And I think that with his hyper-competitive nature, it's going to make him want to win that much more. Same thing with a guy like Tomas Hertl, who had experienced almost nothing but success until this recent run. And I think Erik Karlsson, he went from, you know, being on a team like the Senators, who were bad for so long, and he helped them crawl out of it and got them to, you know, a Stanley Cup semifinal appearance, the conference finals, and then came over to San Jose and was able to play in some really high-quality games and be a part of that team that made it to the Western Conference final right away. And now he finds himself once again on a team that's not in a good place. I'm sure it makes him want to win that much more. It's not fun right now. That finish line, though, is on the horizon. All right, we are going to take a break. On the other side, we're going to hear some of the reaction after last night's loss. You're on Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Yeah, there's definitely no excuse for it. It's been the problem for us all year long, and you know, not only turnovers, but just, you know, bad decisions through the neutral zone, forcing offense. Obviously, we've had a lot of turnover here in the last month, so you know, it's almost like we got to go through training camp one more time with all the changes we've had, but that's no excuse. I mean, we've got to take care of the puck better. The first three goals were all off rush, puck on their stick, and they get it and go the other way. So it's been a problem for us all year long.
That is head coach David Quinn bringing us back in on this Friday morning here on the Sharks Audio Network. You're listening to Morning Tide, and the mistakes that have haunted the Sharks all year are still the mistakes that are doing them in at this point of the season. The problem is, earlier in the year, the Sharks had the ability to make up for some of those mistakes, only now they don't. You know, the team has been depleted with the roster moves, and I'm not saying that's an excuse or anything like that. It's just that when you have these mistakes at this point, it is that much more damaging. It is that much more of a problem to try and deal with. You never want to be giving up the puck like that. You never want to be turning it over the way the Sharks have this year. You never want to put yourself in that position where your turnovers damage you and you're down 2-0 early. But that's what the Sharks did in this game. It's what they've done all year long, and it's continuing to be a problem. And the real question for me is that, are they able to get this out of their system this year, you know, and not have to deal with it next year? Like, that will be one of the big things that I'm looking for going into next year. And I hate to talk about the future so much, but it is something that I'll have to see. I'll put it that way. Like, I need to see that these mistakes do not carry over from one year to the next, because that would be the most problematic thing. That would start telling you that the errors are beyond fixing. And I understand that even if they come out in the first game and make a bunch of turnovers, that's one game. But it's like, what are they doing a month into the year? What are they doing, you know, at the halfway point? What are they doing in the grand collective of what we're seeing from the team? That's what I am going to need to see to know whether or not this is quote-unquote out of their system. And I don't know, you know, how easy that is to do. I don't know that, you know, I've ever, you know, been this closely following a Sharks team that's this bad, right? Like, I go back a ways with the Sharks since day one, but I was, you know, 10 and 11 years old, 92, 93, when they had this. Actually, I wasn't even 11 until the offseason. So, yeah, I was, you know, 10 years old for that entire 92, 93 season when the Sharks were so very, very bad. I can tell you that I love the 93-94 team. That was great. But at this point, I may have blocked it out of my mind. But, you know, these problems repeat themselves for a reason. You see these issues over and over again because the Sharks are trying to make things happen. The talent is not completely around the star players to where they feel they don't have to try and make something happen. I think that when you lose this much, a little bit of carelessness can set in. And like I alluded to earlier, they're all seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, but they've got to play till that, you know, light shines upon them and they get to the finish line.
Without question. I mean, we come on the ice, we're not alert. We, you know, we stand flat-footed on the outside the dots instead of wedging up to just kill the period, and they walk down and score. I mean, just a bad play all around. And listen, that's what's been happening to us all year long. You look at our history right now this year, and at the end of periods, it's killed us. And, you know, when you lose as much as we have, it catches up to you. And, you know, you build swagger by winning, and, you know, things like this happen when you have the season we've had. And it's going to stop. I'll tell you that right now. It may not stop this year, but it will stop soon.
And it's not so much anger or vitriol that I hear in David Quinn's voice right there, but it's more like he's done with this. He's over losing games like this. He doesn't want to see these turnovers. He doesn't want to see these mistakes happen over and over and over again. And I don't know what messages will be sent in the offseason. I don't know what guys will be told going into their offseason preparations and getting ready for next year. But I would imagine that David Quinn will say certain things to certain guys about where their conditioning needs to be, about where their effort needs to be, about where their mistakes need to be or not be, about what they overall need to do to put themselves in a better position to perform. And I know you take the playmaking ability of some of these guys like a Tomas Hertl, like an Erik Karlsson. There is a high risk, high reward element to their game. But when you're in a season like this and you're losing, the element of risk is not as powerful as the goals that you get or the points that you stack up, just because oftentimes that risk is a result of already being down in games, or it's contributing to being down in games. And I'm not saying that I'm against it in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying that there are certain teams where you can manage the risk, where you can, you know, have one of your best players try and do something special and it won't hurt you because you have the ability to stop it on the other end. That's not where this team is. They don't always have the ability to stop it. They don't have the ability to always deal with the ramifications of a loose puck or a turnover or something of that nature. Like, they're just not there right now. And again, I don't blame these guys for taking the risk. I just think that in the midst of a season like this, it's not as beneficial. I think you have to play it uber conservative. I think you have to very much play it close to the vest and see what happens at that point. Maybe we will see a more conservative Sharks team next year or not. It's all dependent on the roster that is surrounding these guys, right? And that is yet to be known, but it is definitely something that has to be taken into consideration. What type of risk gets the most juice out of the squeeze, right? Like, what type or what level of risk will allow you to get the most out of the season? And I think that probably will be something that the analytics department looks at, or that they, as a coaching staff, will be able to figure out through the training camp. But right now, it's a tough spell for the Sharks because they're not putting themselves in good positions consistently, and they don't have the talent to get themselves back into games.
I just think when you get a lot of change at this time of year, and there's a lot of other teams in our situation, I mean, it is difficult. And you look at some of the scores throughout the league. I mentioned this before our Edmonton game, you know, 7-0 losses, 7-2 losses. You know, when you make so many changes, that, you know, some of the things that are happening out there are really not really the fault of the new players. They just haven't been accustomed to playing the way you want to play, and that can happen. But, you know, it's the guys that have been here that have to keep this thing together and, you know, understand that we've got a season to finish and we've got to do a better job finishing on a strong note.
And to me, that doesn't necessarily mean that you win games from here on out. I don't know if the Sharks are going to win a lot going out, but I do know that there's got to be a better effort to not lose 7-2 and not lose 8-3 in some of these performances that we've seen lately. These are not acceptable in the sense that it's bad for the team, it's bad for the coaches, it's bad for the front office, it's bad for the fan base, it's bad for everyone. Nobody wants to be on the wrong end of a 7-2 loss. Nobody wants that to be part of their game. You want to be on the other end of the spectrum where you are putting forth the performances that are propelling you into the postseason. And right now, the emphasis has got to be on finishing with a, you know, on a positive note, like Quinn alluded to, like with a stronger finish. Whether or not that's wins or losses, I can't tell you. But again, you want to eliminate the 7-2 losses. And yeah, the roster turnover hurts. The guys don't know each other's games as well. The guys don't know each other as well out there on the ice. You're getting more and more faces up that you don't know before, and guys are into the lineup and out of the lineup. You had Eklund come up, and now Eklund's no longer here. You got Peterson stepping in. You got Agazino. I mean, this is change. Change on a good team, if you're adding talent, can lead to a better performance when all is said and done. Change on a bad team with where the Sharks are right now, it makes life more difficult. And when you're already in a difficult situation, you have that added on, it just overall leads to a product that is not going to be, well, inspiring at its greatest, and probably leads to it being painful at where it is right now. So again, it's that idea of playing to the finish line, getting to the end of the season.
Yeah, you know, we scored a goal, and after we got, you know, I hit poles right away after, and we got, you know, like 2 minutes, you know, we couldn't change, and that's what happened for us all year long. You know, we give up so many last second goals. It happened like, I can't even count it, like first, second, third, just so many times. It's like 2 seconds left and they score, you know, and it's not a great feeling, you know, when you give up again, and you know, it was, by then was 2-1, you know, we played really good last 5 minutes, just say, but, you know, we just shoot against ourselves to foot, and after, you know, we get to the second, we just play PK, and we couldn't get the momentum after that.
That's Hurdle after last night's loss, and yeah, the late period goals have been absolutely brutal for this team, because, you know, momentum had swung a little bit back to the Sharks. It was 2-0, then it's 2-1. You're getting more extended offensive zone time. You're looking like you're reestablishing yourself in the game. And then, boom, it's 3-1, and the period's coming to an end. And you're like, what happened? And then they played decently in the second period, and then suddenly it was 4-1. But that, you know, that goal at the end of the first period, that, to me, was the backbreaker. Like, that was the one that hurt the most. And so you add that to the list of things that you need to improve upon going into next year. You need to be better with your turnovers. We've seen the Sharks all year long consistently give up far too many easy goals to the opposition. And that's, you know, you put your goalie in a bad position, that's not helping things in the slightest. You turn the puck over in your own end or at the blue line, you're not helping yourself. And then you go beyond that, you need to be better in terms of giving up the goals late in periods. That will make yourself a better team overall. Beyond that, where do you else do you need to get better? You need to be better in your net minding situation. I think both Reimer and Kakinen have had a lot of goals that they would want back this year. That doesn't mean their efforts haven't been good. I think they've always tried very, 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 very hard. But, you know, sometimes I think they are dealing with what we're watching on the ice. It's like they do their job, they stand on their head, and then they see their team give it away at the blue line, and it's kind of a shoulder slumping situation where they know they've got to be perfect. Or you go back to the overtime a couple of nights ago against Seattle where, you know, the Sharks do not, or at least very much delay getting back after, you know, watching Seattle on a breakaway. You know, that does not leave a good effect on the goalies, I'll put it that way. And I think this speaks to, you know, the overall need for more change to come into this San Jose Sharks team. And I, you know, I don't know how painful some of that will be, but, you know, these memories right now for everybody, they inspire them all to be better. But as a collective, you might need to acknowledge that it's not working. I mean, that to me is something that I most definitely think about when I'm watching the product out there on the ice. It's like, does this collective, do they play up to where we want them to be? Do they play up to where we think they should be? Do they play up to what they're capable of as a whole? And I think all year long, the answer was probably they were not up to where they were when they were at their full strength, when they were at their most talented on the roster. And then the more you take away, whether it's the injury to Cunning, whether it's the trade of Meyer, you take those away and the team is not in a good place. And I think that's probably going to stimulate change for the future. And I don't have a problem with that because this team hasn't proven as a whole that they are capable of playing to their level. And I don't take that on individuals. It's just sometimes the collective doesn't work. And I know there are reasons for that because you're trying to make the roster situation work or the salary cap situation work, and that impacts your roster. And that's something that Mike Greer's got to deal with. I don't envy him at all in that situation, but I think we can all view this that as a collective, there needs to be more change coming because it has not yielded the results that were on par with the collective. Not that the collective was going to be great by any means, but it probably didn't perform to the level that we had hoped. And so these are the things that you look at going into the offseason. How much of it is team chemistry? How much of it is going to be just, you know, the mistakes that were made? How much of it was the net minding? How much was the defensive structure? How much was the, you know, the piling up of the losses? All of these things are a factor, right? It's just not going to be something that you can really step back from and review until you get to the finish line. I mean, I'm sure part of the review is going on right now, But the focus now is getting to the finish line and figuring out where this team is going to be and what it needs to be in the offseason. All right, we are out of time. Saturday, we've got an early start, 1 o'clock in the afternoon in Calgary, taking on the Flames. Be sure to join us right here on the Sharks Audio Network, noon 30 pregame coverage as we get ready for the Sharks to take on the Flames. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.